I know we're all ready, but the Brown Act requires me to wait till 9:30.
Recording in progress.
Are we good to go, Lori? Okay. All right. It is 9:30 on July 3rd, 2024, and I will call this meeting to order of the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board. Before we call the roll, we have one hearing board member participating under Assembly Bill 2449, and I would like to call on that via Zoom, and I would like to call on that member Mr. Cox, to please provide the reasons for your remote appearance and whether there's anyone 18 years or older is present and the general nature of the member's relationship with the person that may be with you.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I appreciate the opportunity to be on this via Zoom. And there is no one else in the facility with me that is 18 years or older. The reason I have to do this remotely is I provide a great deal of support to my 92-year-old mother, and she has an appointment that waited a long time to get and we can't get out of. And so in order to be able to make the meeting and get my mother to her appointment, I need to do it via Zoom. There's no way I can get back in time if I was in Santa Barbara.
All right. Thank you. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Dr. Colome?
Present.
Mr. Cook?
Present.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Mr. Saperstein?
Here.
And Chair Dressler?
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right, the first item of business is the approval of the minutes from the April 3rd, 2024 meeting. Members are allowed to vote on the minutes whether or not you were here, as long as you did review them. Is there any discussion or anything, any recommended changes for the minutes? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Chair Dressler?
Yes.
We do have Mr. Cook remote, so a roll call vote would be needed.
All right, so call the roll, please.
Dr. Colome?
Yes.
Mr. Cook?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Mr. Saperstein?
Yes.
And Chair Dressler?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, next item is announcement or staff reports from the staff. If there are any announcements from the staff.
Good morning, Chair Jessler, members of the hearing board. District does have an announcement. California Air Resource Board will be conducting a virtual training September 17th, and that's from 9 to 3 p.m.
Thank you very much. The next item is the public comment period. I'm going to open public comment for any item that's under the purview of this hearing board, but is not on the agenda today. Do I have any speaker slips, Lori?
Chair Dressler's members of the hearing board, we did not receive any public comments on items not on the agenda.
Is there anybody in the public who would like to make a comment on any item under our purview that is not on the agenda? Hearing none, I will close the public comment period. The next item is the public hearings. Lori, would you please read item E1 into the record?
Public hearing E1, case number 2021-04-M4, modification of final compliance date and schedule of increments of progress. To consider a petition for modification of regular variance from District Rules 331D, E, G1, and I, and 206 Part 70 permit to operate 9109 R5, conditions 9C2A, 9C2B1, 9C2B2, submitted on May 23rd, 2024, for relief from fugitive hydrocarbon component emission limits, operational limits, leak and repair requirements at Platform Houchen. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at Platform Houchen, located on offshore lease track OCS P166, approximately 7 miles southeast from the city of Santa Barbara.
All right, the first thing I'm going to do is do the swearing in. Any witness for this case that is planning on giving testimony today needs to be sworn in, on this item, needs to be sworn in at the present time. Each individual item will be given its own oath. So if you're here for an item that is not this very first item, you don't have to take the oath at this time. You can take it when your item comes up. So will all the witnesses that are planning on, I'll administer the oath, and then all the witnesses will state their name, state their position, and affirm the oath. We'll just go around the room and take turns doing that. So will anybody who is planning on giving witness testimony for this case, please stand up and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, or nothing but the truth? So we'll start over here and we'll go that way.
Keith Wendell, Eagan West, I do. Brian Pettit, District Council, I do. Eric Kett, Compliance Supervisor, with your district.
Amy Long, with the district, and I do.
Bruce Huston, Regional Director for the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement, I do.
All right, thank you very much. All the witnesses have been sworn in, apparently so. At this time, I'll ask the petitioner from Beacon West Group to make their case. Please, during your testimony, make sure that you provide enough verbal testimony that we can make the findings we're going to have to make in this case. Thank you.
It's over there. There we go. You hear me okay? Good morning, Chair Dressler and members of the board. Again, I'm Keith Wendell with Beacon West, and I'm going to provide a summary of the Hogan petition to move forward to continue the Hogan petition into 2024 and 2025. So this first slide is just a picture of Hogan in his current state. As you see, there's a new crane there and some other decks have been cleared and so on and so forth. So this is a little bit different than what you've seen. I do want to mention that this is the fourth time that I've been in front of you. I'm sure you recognize that. As I go through these slides, you'll notice that there's a fair amount of continuing improvement.
I don't mean to interrupt, but the first item is for platform Houchin.
Houchin? Yeah. Okay. Then let me switch that then. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, there we go. Houchin, platform Houchin. This is a recent picture of Houchin. It looks better than it did before, although there's a lot of stuff going on there on that top deck, but we'll go through some of that as we proceed through. So current facility status and equipment status. Beacon West continues to perform maintenance and monitoring activities for the former leaseholders, as we have been for the last 4 years. Houchin is permanently shut down. All wells are shut in, and there is no production. The pipelines to shore are isolated and filled with seawater, and that's been the same condition for the last 4 years. All oil and gas production equipment and piping is out of service, isolated. It's all depressured, and all has been flushed of oil and gas. All well bay remaining piping has been removed, eliminating a number of fugitive emissions that were present previously in previous years. We are continuing to perform Method 21 fugitive inspections to assess those fugitive leaks that are ongoing, fugitive emissions that are ongoing. And we do have an ongoing gauge program to monitor well pressures during the variance period, and that's been ongoing. The flare system on platform Houchin has been in service, intermittent service, that is, so there's been no venting of gas from the platform. The platform stationary cranes are all in service and operating. I'll be talking a little bit more about that further on. Ongoing level two and level one repairs, which are basically repairs and maintenance activities to ensure the preservation of the platform. And we are somewhat limited on Houchin still because we still only have one crane on Houchin, which severely limits the amount of work that we can do. So I'll be talking more about that as we proceed. The Houchin fugitive emissions from the wells are continuing to be monitored. We repair those emissions as best we can, if we can. We're fairly limited to what we can do on the wellheads themselves, but we do make every attempt possible to repair any leaks that we do find. So during the past variance period, I want to go through some of the completed tasks. This is again on platform Houchin. So the well gauge and well pressure program continues to be monitored. We continue to repair wellhead leaks as we find them. Method 21 inspections continue. There have been several structural repairs and damage repairs made to the pipe deck on platform Houchin. We continue to make other upgrades to accommodate the new portable cranes, which I'll be talking about more. We completed the flare piping repairs to get the flare back into service, so there's no more venting of gas from the platform. We've lowered the dilapidated well rig that's currently on platform Houchin to reduce risk and in preparation of rig removal going forward. Ongoing repairs to decking, deck coatings, grating, hatch covers, as we can get to. We're fairly limited because we only have one small crane on Houchin at this time. Well remediation work, this is the planning associated with the well remediation work for the future, has been completed and evaluations are done. And we're continuing to monitor the wells to provide additional information on the wells in case anything were to change. Go through some visuals. These are just pictures of the work on platform Houchin that has been completed. Piping work related to the changes that we needed to do for the return the platform flare to service. Decking repairs, handrails, scaffolding work, and clearing of the well bay of all ongoing activities on platform Houchin as we speak. Just some more pictures. These are primarily structural pictures of structural repairs that have been made to accommodate the portable cranes once they're moved over to platform Houchin. Again, deck repairs, the bottom center one there, the inspection work that has to be done on all the decks to ensure that we have safe decking, and where we have issues, obviously we have to repair those decks. So it's a very significant amount of work that has to be done, and that work is continuing. And the last slide here is just another picture of deck work. Again, I mentioned stair rails, handrails, stairways, decking, a lot of structural and other repairs that need to be made to ensure the platform is safe going forward, and those repairs continue. Comment here on the variance order. The petitioner has complied 100% with all the variance conditions of the current variance order and the increments of progress associated with that variance. The remaining increments of progress identified in the variance order are associated with, or I should say dependent on the IBLA appeal resolution, which is yet to be resolved. The petitioner, we have, as I've mentioned, we have performed a lot of work, and that work continues. I do want to mention that I mentioned earlier that this is the fourth time we're here. The work continues. I'm sure if you recall the past few years, the amount of progress that has been made, this very significant amount of work has been accomplished over the last 4 years. All that work is required in order for us to safely proceed with any kind of well remediation program to go forward. The cranes themselves have taken 2 years to purchase, repair, refurbish, install, commission, and put into operation. So you can just wanted to mention that just impress upon you the amount of effort and work that has been ongoing on the platforms. Planned activities on platform Houchin for the next variance period. We're gonna move one of the portable cranes currently on Hogan over to platform Houchin. That will enable us to do a significant amount of work that still remains on platform Houchin. We need to refurbish the platform helideck. We've got to do marine growth removal and platform legs in preparation of the well remediation and conductor removal work. There are fire system repairs and replacement that still need to be done. We still have a lot of level one, level two repairs to make on platform Houchin to ensure personnel safety and the ability of the platform to be safe for a well remediation program. Installation of a new potable water system is required. Installation of a marine sanitation system still needs to be done. The current rig on platform Houchin is unsafe, and so we do need to remove that rig and its associated BOP and substructure and the tanks associated with it. And then finally on Houchin is the living quarters also need to be removed and replaced. So all that work is planned for the next variance period and ongoing. Comment on the well rig. At this time, the platform in its current state is not physically capable of receiving a well rig. And we cannot work on the well bay well heads without a rig being placed on the platform and a comprehensive well intervention program being in place as well. So, and this is information out of the staff report. Just a refresh on the facility responsibility and partial stay agreement. The current platform responsibility is still unresolved with the Department of Interior Board of Land Appeals, the IBLA, and a decision on that timing is currently unknown at this time. The stay agreement is still in play. for Platform Houchen, and it does require that certain maintenance and monitoring activities to maintain the platform safety and preserve the facilities for decommissioning is still the governing rule for us right now. A well intervention program currently is beyond the scope and obligation of the partial stay agreement as it stands today. In cooperation with BSEE, the order recipients and petitioners have voluntarily been very proactive in initiating significant work on the platforms, which I've just reviewed. Okay, next I'm gonna go through the six explicit findings. They're numbered there, 1 through 6. And the two implicit findings, numbers 1 and 2. The first explicit finding, the applicant is not able to comply with the district rule or health and safety code item 41701. Beacon West's response to that is we confirm that we are unable to comply with those permit conditions due to the current inability to safely repair the well fugitive emissions on the platform. Continuing with item 1, applicant is unable to comply with District Rule Health and Safety Code 4171 concerning visible emissions and District Rule, specifically District Rule 206. Beacon West's response is we confirm that we are unable to comply with these permit conditions due to the current inability to safely repair the well fugitive emissions. Item number 2, noncompliance due to conditions beyond the applicant's reasonable control and requiring compliance would result in unreasonable taking of property or closing of business. A few statements here. The effective and safe mitigation of the wellhead fugitive emissions cannot be addressed until a platform is physically prepared and has the necessary safe and other ancillary systems in place to support a comprehensive well intervention program. The platform is not currently in a state to safely support a well intervention program. Neither the petitioner nor the former leaseholders are the owner or operator of the lease wells, and a well intervention program to address the wellhead fugitive emissions is not part of the terms of the partial stay agreement. And the petitioner is currently performing for the former leaseholder, Signal Hill. Neither the petitioner nor the former leaseholders is the current owner operator of the platform. A taking of property, i.e. the permit, will only obstruct the continued progress to the platform for a well intervention program to proceed. Last item, BSEE has no control over the appeal resolution timeframe, and there is no way for them, BSEE, or the petitioners to accelerate this process. Lastly, the district confirmed, BSEE, there are no other responsible parties available to conduct fugitive mission repair work, and this is in this staff report. Item 3, such taking is without corresponding benefit in reducing pollution. Beacon West's response, all platform oil and gas production has been permanently ceased pending well plug and abandonment program. Without continued variance coverage, the petitioner would be forced to cease all maintenance and refurbishment activities, increasing the risk of safety and further pollution. A taking would have no air pollution benefit, yet it will detrimentally impact the ongoing planned maintenance and refurbishment activities for the platform. The petitioners will proceed in a safe manner in regards to the activities on the platform to ensure worker safety and environmental protection. Item 4, applicant considered curtailing operations in lieu of the variance. Curtailing operations is not applicable in this instance as the facility is permanently shut down and will not resume production. The platform pollution source operations and equipment have been permanently removed from service curtailed to the extent possible. Ongoing activities are solely to improve safety and mitigate environmental risks by performing maintenance and repairs and refurbishments to the platform in preparation for a well intervention program. Item 5, applicant will reduce emissions to the extent feasible. During the period the variance is in effect, emissions will continue to be reduced to the extent possible by removing, repairing, and replacing equipment as appropriate. The former leaseholders and their contractors are committed to continuing to apply the necessary resources for continued restoration, maintenance, and repair to the platform Halchin and its facilities to ensure safety and minimize emissions to the extent feasible. Although fugitive emissions remain, any attempted repairs on the wellheads will, without a suitable well rig or a well intervention program in place, would incur significant risks and a high potential to significantly increase emissions. The applicant will continue to comply with all variance conditions. Item 6, applicant will monitor and report emissions. Beacon West response. Monitoring and maintenance activities will continue to be reported to address compliance with the district permitting procedures, and quarterly Method 21 monitoring will continue for all fugitive emissions. Permitted emissions will continue to be reported in semi-annually as required by the PTO. The two implicit findings. Item 1, monitoring and maintenance activity under variance is not a nuisance. Beacon West response. Cessation of oil and gas production, limited equipment operation, and remote offshore location ensures no nuisance potential. Item 2, all other requirements to progress expeditious compliance with emission standards or increments of progress. The former leaseholders and their contractors, Beacon West, have invested and continue to invest extensive resources into the maintenance and restoration of Platform Halchin under the partial stay agreement, including repair, replacement, upkeep of equipment designed to control and minimize emissions. Identify well rigs necessary to fugitive leak repairs within 6 months of final resolution of the IBLA appeal process. Complete platform deck alterations necessary for the well rigs within 18 months of final resolution of the IBLA appeal process. Begin well bay fugitive leak repairs within 20 months of final resolution of the IBLA appeal process, and complete 100% of the well bay emission repairs within 38 months of the final resolution of the IBLA process. Those last four bullets are carryover from last year's increments of progress and variance. Some conclusion comments. The petitioner does recognize the legitimate concerns of the hearing board and the district staff, completely understand that the fugitive emissions are of concern to the public. The petitioner intends to fully comply with all the district's legal requirements. Petitioner has fully cooperated with district staff during the variance period and previously. Petitioner has performed work that far exceeds the terms of the partial stay agreement, involving repair of the fugitive leaks to the extent possible. Petitioner has complied 100% with the conditions and increments of progress to date in the current operative variance order. And as always, the petitioner must and will proceed in a safe manner with all activities. That concludes my presentation for Platform Halchin.
Thank you very much, Keith. Before I move to the board for questions, I would like to ask district staff to respond whether or not you approve or recommend that this variance be granted, or if you have any comments on the testimony that we just heard.
Good morning, this is Amy Long with the district. The district staff does support the request for variance because we do believe that all six findings have been addressed, and we'll leave that up to you. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. All right, at this time, I'm gonna bring this back to the board for discussion. First, I will ask board members if they have any questions for the applicant.
The cycle of re-looking at the permit request is just long enough so that I forget what the long-term plan is. Could you just give us the nickel version of what's the long-term hope for outcome with the platforms and all of the safety improvements ultimately to just have a rusting facility sit out in the ocean? I just don't remember.
Member Severstein, the long-term plan is to continue the repairs and refurbishments to the platform to get them in a condition where a well rig and a well intervention program can be started. The timing on that start is impacted by the IBLL decision, of course. Once that occurs, then platform decommissioning would occur down the road, and I cannot comment on the timing associated with that.
And, Chair, can I continue? And the appeal is primarily about financial responsibility?
If you don't mind, I'd prefer Mr. Hessen answer that question.
Yes, the IBLA decision would address accrued liabilities, not only for ConocoPhillips, but the other predecessors that were named in our order, which is Devon Energy and Occidental Petroleum Company.
And that includes responsibility to do away with the platforms?
It would be the well work that would be necessary, the well abandonments that are still necessary. Again, there's preliminary work that has to be done before that can safely be done. And again, you know, ConocoPhillips through their agent Beacon West and the contractors has gone above and beyond the partial stay agreement. But yes, to answer your question, the wells would have to be plugged and abandoned, and then the next phase would be pulling conductors, which were essentially a sheath around the wells. And then at that point, they would be in a position where they could be ultimately decommissioned. And that requires environmental review and so forth, requires contracting a very large vessel or vessels to go ahead and physically remove the top sides of these platforms, and then cutting and removing the jackets, which is what supports that above the sea level.
A really naive question. Has that ever been done before?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, it's currently ongoing in the Gulf of Mexico. There have been some state platforms, when I worked for a state agency, that were removed in the 1990s called the 4-H Project, and that was Chevron, and they took out two platforms off of Summerlin and two platforms off of Carpinter Rio. So yes, that work has been done before.
Any best guess on that sort of when the appeal runs its course?
I wish I could give you a definitive answer on that. I checked with the solicitor's office. They say these appeals can take anywhere from 5 to 7 years. Now, we filed our orders, and then following that, there's an opportunity for appeal. So there was a statement of reasons filed August 16th of 2021. So we're coming up on what would be the 3-year anniversary. Our solicitor's office said there's no way to expedite or accelerate the process with IBLA. It's just not possible.
And the pipelines, what used to be the delivery pipelines, they're just going to sit under the water and corrode?
Yeah. What's happened, these facilities have had all the hydrocarbons removed from the process equipment, so that's been taken care of. Pipelines have been purged as well, so there's no risk, you know, for hydrocarbons being in those, but yes, ultimate decommissioning would be the removal of the platforms as well as all the attendant equipment, which would be the pipelines as well.
They'll likely crumble away before the...
I'm sorry, what was that?
They'll likely crumble away from the seawater inside before...
I won't comment on
that. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have one. So the increments of progress are based off of the appeal resolution, but you know, you guys have been working on the platform for many years to kind of bring it up to the point where it can accommodate a well rig. Is there a concern about meeting the kind of timeline in the in that schedule pending the appeal resolution? I mean, I'm just kind of wondering, like, what percentage of, you know, work to get it up to that state where it can accommodate the well reg and do the intervention. How far along it is.
Member Cook, if I understand your question correctly, all the work that we're currently doing right now is to get the platforms into a condition where they can accept a well rig and the well intervention work which means the plugging and abandonment of the wells and the removal of the conductors is all in preparation for that. In the meantime, considering the repairs, once all those repairs are made, there's ongoing maintenance and repairs that need to continue to keep the platform in preparation for that work, when and if that starts down the road. As far as the timing on that was in the increments of progress, those are industry standard timings related to initiating a well intervention program.
Okay, so yeah, there'll be ongoing maintenance, you know, of course, once the repairs are done, but I guess the shorter version of my question is how far along are you with the repairs needed before it can get to the kind of steady state maintenance to support the eventual resolution?
For Platform Houchin, we estimate another year or two.
Thanks.
Other questions? Go ahead.
Yes, please. I know I've said this during one of the other hearings. This feels a little bit like Groundhog Day. And I think on each time we've learned a little bit more about this process. I think it was last session that we had Bessie in for the first time. I would like to congratulate Beacon West on an awful lot of hard work over the last 4 years, getting us to where we are today. I think what I find most regrettable is that we are here. Why was that platform allowed to degrade to a condition where you had to put 4 years of work into it and another year simply to get to the point of beginning to think about decommissioning? Something's really wrong here in terms of liability and responsibility. This has been an ongoing problem, I think, with oil and gas of majors holding leases from the federal government and then at some point passing things on to a lesser monetized enterprise that ends up with the public holding the final bag. So I see Beacon West as a very, very good contractor, with ultimately the responsible parties being whoever it is that's going to be paying for this in the end. I do wonder why it is that we can't know more about the IBLA process and timing. It would seem to me that it would be appropriate for the county to appeal to our congressional and Senate representatives to weigh in on IBLA to get this resolved. This has been going on for a very long time. I'd like to hear about why possibly the district couldn't itself become a party to that. That somehow somebody needs to be kicked in the butt on this. I will have some other questions possibly for Bessie, but I'll hold it there.
Member Colomy, I don't believe I can address your comments. I'll turn it over to Mr. Hessen again.
Well, certainly anyone can petition the IBLA to go ahead and expedite the process. I did provide the staff here for the Air District with that contact information. Solicitor's office said that's perfectly fine, so feel free to do so. Again, as far as the condition of the platforms and so forth, they were transferred to a company in 1991, Signal Hill Services. That agreement was not handled by Bessie. It's our sister agency, Bureau of Ocean Energy and Management. They're the ones who are responsible for those transfers. They're the ones responsible for financial assurances. Our agency is responsible for compliance. I can say, since I was there since 2016, we spent an inordinate amount of time trying to get Signal Hill Services to go ahead and do what they needed to do. But compliance isn't always perfect, but there was a lot of effort on our part to do so. But what we did do was when we could see the situation getting worse, we reached out to the predecessors. We told them ahead of time, before any order could be issued, of what was happening, to let them know this is a serious concern to us. And we actually started discussions with ConocoPhillips and the other predecessors about the situation so there would be a smooth transition. And what happened at the end of the day, Signal Hill Services relinquished the lease. They just said, fine, here are the keys. But we did a lot of preparatory work to go ahead and ensure there was a transition. And at that point, with the lease relinquished, ConocoPhillips, through their agent Beacon West, started manning those facilities. And so it's not a great situation, but it's certainly better than it could have been.
Further questions? Mr. Cox?
Well, I thank you. The only question I was going to ask was, how aware is our congressional representative? And that was already asked. If we haven't engaged them with the IBLA, then I would recommend that we do.
Further questions?
Just one more question for the BSEE representative. We've got a lot of other platforms out there in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Is anything being done to prevent this scenario from happening again?
I will say this case is unique. These are the only two where we have a situation like this. And so, all the other platforms BOEM has in place, financial security there. The predecessors would be Chevron. In fact, right now there are five Chevron platforms that have been prepared for plugging and abandonment. Those would be the Point Arguello platforms, which were under Freeport-McMoRan, but Chevron has the ultimate responsibility. And the other two platforms would be platforms Gale and Grace, which are the Santa Clara unit. So there are five facilities where Chevron has plugged and abandoned all the wells. They have pulled the conductors, and they are trying to make plans for decommissioning. Again, the scope of that work is fairly significant. There are probably two contractors worldwide that can handle the scope of that work. And so even the timelines they've given us are years out because of availability as well. There's just a lot of activity with renewable energy in Europe and so forth because of the Ukraine war. So these contracts are lined out years in advance, but they are planning for that. And so this is a unique situation. The remainder of the facilities that we have in the Santa Barbara Channel by Point Conception, as well as off of Huntington Beach, there are financial assurances in place with all the predecessors, which would be Chevron, Freeport-McMoRan, and Shell Oil.
And actually, one follow-up question. Really the party most familiar with these two in their current state is Beacon West, and I know you've looked at the challenges of putting in a well rig and starting the capping process. Any estimate range for what it will cost ultimately to cap these wells and then finally decommission the structures?
Member Colomay, I'm not prepared to answer that question today.
Are we talking $1 billion? Are we talking 500 million? I mean, you guys are in the industry. You ought to know what it is either that ConocoPhillips and the other parties involved and or the public is going to get stuck with.
Member Colomay, again, I'm just not prepared to that. I'm just not prepared to answer that question.
May I respond to that?
Actually, BSEE, through a contractor, has prepared what would be estimates for all facilities in the Pacific region, Gulf of Mexico. There is, the most recent is a 2020 study, which provides estimated costs. And it breaks it down by the removal of the topsides, the jackets, the wells. They're pretty thorough studies that are done, and I can make that available to you. It's also on our website. It's on BSEE's website. It's also on BOEM's website. But it's a 2020 study for decommissioning costs, and that's public information. We are in the process, too. This is done every 5 years because of inflation and other factors could drive the costs higher. And so there's another study that will be done in 2025, but that is public information.
Further questions? Okay, I have a couple of questions. One, Keith, is it possible that the platforms, specifically Houchin in this case, will be capable of the installation of a drill rig before the appeal process is completed?
Chair Jessler, yes, that would be possible.
Thank you. Now I have some questions for the federal government. Is it possible that through this appeal process that it will be determined that the Department of Interior is responsible financially for the removal of these rigs?
Yes, that is a possibility.
All right. Also, is it possible once the platforms become capable of receiving new drill rigs that the a partial stay agreement could be modified by the parties of the partial stay agreement?
There is a provision in the partial stay agreement which allows either party with 120 days notice to go ahead and rescind it. And so that is in there, but.
So I assume that that means that the parties are also free to initiate a negotiation for modification.
I would have to check with the solicitor's office on that.
The reason I'm asking you these questions, I don't think they're answers to those questions are necessary to take action today, but that at some point there will not be a physical barrier to putting drill rigs on these platforms, but there may be an administrative barrier. And if the administrative barrier consists simply of a contract that could be modified by the parties of the contract, then it will be much harder for this board to make findings that that contract alone makes it beyond the control of any petitioner to not repair the leaks. Am I being clear there?
Yeah, you know, again, the solicitor's office is the one who prepared this partial stay agreement, so I would have to.
Certainly. I just think that would ask for you to communicate with them
yes.
that down the road that this could be an issue with the making of the findings.
Yes, I certainly will do so. That's the purpose I'm here today
right.
as well. So,
all
yes.
right. Thank you very much. Any further questions? Okay. Hearing none, let's take this back to the board and see if we can make findings here. We've gone through this process before, and we were able to make findings last time. It is my opinion that not a whole lot has changed, except that Beacon West has done great work in keeping these platforms from simply falling into the ocean. And preparing them for the equipment that's going to be necessary to ultimately decommission them. So what I suggest we do today is I'm going to go down the findings and just state what I've heard, and then we'll see if we can get a motion one way or the other on this variance. So finding one that we've heard plenty of testimony today that the petitioner or the platform is indeed in violation of district rules. So that finding can be made. That the due to conditions beyond the reasonable control, immediate compliance is not possible. And we heard specifically today in our testimony that this specific platform Houchin, is not physically possible to put a drill rig on the platform. And needing a drill rig is absolutely necessary to repair these leaks. And so since it's not physically possible to put the drill rig there yet, then it is beyond the control of the petitioner to comply with these rules. The closing or taking without would be without a corresponding benefit to air contaminants. I think since the platform's not operating, these are purely fugitive emissions. The taking of the permit would not have any benefit to air quality whatsoever. The petitioner has considered curtailing operations. They have curtailed any operations of this platform to the greatest extent that they can by shutting it down. And during the period of the variance is in effect, the petitioner will reduce emissions to the maximum extent feasible, which we heard testimony today that they are currently have ongoing process to do that. The petitioner will conduct Rule 331 inspections, and they have given testimony that they not only have continued to do that, but they will continue to do so in the future. That's all findings. Also, it's unlikely that there will be a nuisance being that far out in the ocean, and so I don't think that we have to worry about the nuisance prohibition for us in issuing a variance. That's what I heard. Do I have any dissent on that with the board members?
I completely concur with what you've heard, that the findings are made. I would like to strongly recommend in our motion that we include outreach to our congressional representatives to make certain that whatever pressure can be put in IBLA, this has gone on way too long in terms of identifying a final resolution.